ABC Radio Australia.
Firstly, Marshall Islands leaders are calling for a better response from the US to ongoing health and environmental problems caused by historical nuclear tests on Bikini and Inuituk atolls. An 11th hour appeal for more nuclear test compensation by Marshall Islands leaders fell flat in the United States Congress mid-July. But the Marshallese government is upping the pressure as it negotiates with the US on its compact of free association. Joining us this morning is Giff Johnson, who is a journalist on Marshall Islands. And with that, I say welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your time this morning, Giff. For our listeners this morning, though, who don't know, if you don't mind explaining, what is a compact of free association and how can it actually really help improve health and environmental problems?
So Marshall Islands, the Federated States of Micronesia, and Palau, the three North Pacific nations that are associated with the United States, they were once United Nations Trust territories from World War II onward. And so to change that status, change that colonial status, they negotiated a status called free association, somewhat like what the Cook Islands has with New Zealand. And it essentially allows them to have their full UN members. Now they have basic control of their foreign affairs and their own affairs while ceding authority for defense and security to the United States, including in the Marshall Islands, the Kwajalein Missile Range, which is the primary testing site for long-range missiles that the U.S. Tests and develops out here. In any event, the compact first came in 1986. We're now about to start the third funding arrangement, and that's what these negotiations have been all about between Washington and the Marshall Islands, the Micronesia and Palau. And in light of the geopolitical struggle in the Pacific between China and the U.S., it's given more visibility to the islands lately and possibly a little bit of leverage in their talks with the U.S. So the Marshalls has been pushing for increased compensation for the nuclear test legacy. And so far, like it's been able to get some, but it's been unsuccessful from the standpoint of nuclear victims who saw this as a real opportunity to get the United States to finally address the range of nuclear problems that still exist today from the 67 nuclear weapons tests here.
So when we look at the Compact of Free Association, we understand Palau and the Federated States of Micronesia have already signed. Does it really just come down to them trying to squeeze a little bit more money? I mean, why has Marshall Islands yet to finalize their agreement?
Well, in actual fact, the Marshall Islands just a few days ago signed off on the money terms of the compact, agreeing to what the U.S. has offered. And essentially that offer is both funding for, this is a new 20-year package, it's funding for both government operations as well as a $700 million injection into the trust fund, which the United States won't say is for nuclear compensation because it doesn't want to admit liability or any further responsibility on the matter, but which is maybe for nuclear test compensation. And the terms of that have not yet been worked out. The challenge on this is the Marshall Islands, as a result of the first compact, the treaty between the United States and the Marshall Islands established a nuclear claims tribunal to adjudicate all nuclear claims. And that tribunal did its work pursuant to the treaty and to law. And it determined that the awards that were needed for nuclear test damages were in the billions of dollars, but they were given very little money. So when they went back to the U.S. and said, here, we've got this over $3 billion of adjudicated awards that we want the U.S. to fund, the U.S. has just ignored it. And in this latest round of discussions, you know, they started by saying, well, we'll give you a couple hundred million. Well, we'll give you, you know, and it finally got up to $700 million. on a over $3 billion claim. So that's just the state of play, and the Marshals has accepted those numbers. And so I think they're hoping to continue discussions with the U.S. Congress, but you know, it doesn't look very hopeful to getting more. And meantime, the U.S. Congress is widening compensation programs for Americans who were affected by nuclear weapons testing. So it's a real irony, and not lost on Marshallese, that the unfairness of how the United States deals with the exposure of its own citizens, who are definitely due and need compensation, and how it addresses the Marshall Islands compensation needs.
Yeah, you pretty much have already answered my next question. I was going to ask whether or not, you know, the Marshallese are in a good position to get more money out of this deal. What then, though, is the public sentiment like in the Marshall Islands? Is there much support for the U.S.?
Well, you know, the Marshall Islands is a very pro-U.S. country, and the Marshalls has been associated with the United States since the end of World War II. And the United States has put, you know, a lot of money in. People depend on U.S. funding for salaries, for health care, for education, for so many things. And uniquely for these three countries in the North Pacific, because of the close relationship, they get visa-free access to the United States. So currently, about half of all Marshall Islanders now reside in the United States. And I think this is one thing that we've really seen in recent decades. I mean, I've been here for a long time, is more and more people go out to get health care that they can't get here. I mean, you might think it's surprising that in a country that had 67 nuclear tests, many of them hydrogen bombs, there's no cancer treatment program. Well, there isn't. And for example, my first wife, who died of cancer, when she was going through that process, we had to go to Honolulu to access health care. And so that's, you know, one of these legacies of the nuclear test situation, is that people can't get care here. They're on their own, and they just have to find ways to get care in Hawaii or California or Washington or Oregon, places like that.
Well, then I'm wondering, though, then, is this the best deal that the U.S. are offering the Marshall Islands then?
Well, the U.S., the negotiators, who are like staff-level people, they just said, well, this is all the money we have. And they're not the people who should be like making the decision, because you have a lot of people in the U.S. government who are like staff level, have been working in the government for many years, and they'll just look at the Nuclear Claims Tribunal award of, you know, that's now valued at over $3 billion, and they'll just, oh, that's too much money. But that went through an adjudicated process that took years and years and years to come to those awards for land damage, for nuclear cleanup, for medical compensation, and so on. And if the U.S. government people really believe that that's too much, well, then put it into a process to have it vetted. Give the Marshallese their day in court and put those awards on the table in front of a U.S. judge. Or alternatively, go to arbitration, pick three arbitration judges and put the awards on the table and let them determine, are these reasonable or not? But the U.S. government won't do this. And so therefore, it's able to just kind of flick these off the table. And you got to understand, this is a country of 40,000 people. I mean, we don't have the negotiating power that the United States has. They have lawyers, the Justice Department, you know, the multiple ambassadors, you know, being the head negotiator, and give him his due for the U.S., the head negotiator. He was the U.S. negotiator with North Korea. So he knows what he's doing, right? He's a competent negotiator. And we don't have that level of skill in our team of people who really understand the give and take and nuances of negotiation, just like in the first compact back in the 1970s and 80s when they were negotiating. I mean, the U.S. at that time covered up all the information. There was no access to all these classified documents showing the extent of the nuclear fallout. And so the agreement was reached. A money figure of $150 million was just pulled out of the air and said, well, here, this is what we'll give you. So people accepted it. And then 10, 15 years later, all these classified documents were declassified. And we started to learn more about the full extent of the exposures out here, which has fueled efforts to try to get the U.S. to own up to greater compensation. So there's some potentially in this new compact proposed arrangement, which has been agreed to by the government's cabinet just in the last few days. And so now it goes into sort of a final negotiating sprint to try to get things done before September 30th, next month, which is when the current 20-year funding arrangement ends and this new agreement, in theory, is supposed to come into play.
I'm wondering, though, then, do you think the U.S.'s strategy will work? I mean, is there a point where you think the U.S. will concede and give more attention to ongoing health and environmental issues in the country?
Well, it's really hard to say. I mean, after the first compact, when it came up for renewing the funding arrangement in the early 2000s, the nuclear thing was just pushed off the table and wasn't even considered. And the only reason that it's gotten back on is largely due to the geopolitical situation in the Pacific, which has given greater visibility to the islands. And of course, the U.S. is under a bit of pressure because the rest of the Pacific looks to the north as the closest allies of the United States. And so the United States is making a lot of promises and opening up new embassies in various South Pacific countries. And I think from the South Pacific folks' point of view is they look to the north. Is the U.S. taking care of its best allies? Are they happy with their arrangements? And if they're not, that says a lot about how will the U.S. deal with its second and third tier allies in the South, right? Because you have to say Palau, Micronesia, and the Marshall Islands are absolutely the longest standing, closest allies of the United States. So it kind of remains to be seen how this nuclear some nuclear compensation in the new compact funding period will play. And it certainly, you know, people here will probably go along with it just because it's money on the table that the U.S. has said, well, we're okay with that. But are they satisfied with it? No, absolutely not. And you can see that from, you know, listening to people in the parliament and just generally. I mean, it's Marshall Islanders who are, you know, they've been victims of nuclear tests. They're just used to it by now. The United States minimizing, reducing, trying to just distance itself from the situation of the nuclear test legacy.
Yeah, but once you sort of walk away from something like that, I mean, if Marshall Islands walk away from this compact deal to somehow attempt to continue to try and increase this funding. I mean, yeah, what is the end case for this?
I talked to the chief negotiator for the Marshall Islands a few days ago, and he said from their discussions in Washington in the last couple of weeks that a lot of the friends of the Marshall Islands in Congress, while urging them to take the agreement as it's presented, because that is factored in for this new fiscal year coming up, that they offered to work with the Marshall Islands on these outstanding issues. So, you know, it's possible that some things will continue to develop. I mean, the fact that the U.S. Congress, like just in the last several days, the U.S. Senate has adopted, this isn't passed, it's still got to go through the House, but the Senate has passed legislation expanding the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act of 1990 to include more people and, interestingly, Guam, which is 1,500 miles west of the Marshall Islands. So, you know, it's like the Marshallese, I mean, that may be a way for the Marshall Islands to get a little traction by saying, well, you know, you folks keep expanding and offering compensation to Americans who were affected. Well, we were affected much worse because you tested all the hydrogen bombs out here. They didn't test hydrogen bombs in America. And so if you're going to keep passing legislation to expand your compensation program for Americans, how about we address the Marshall Islands claims in a fair and just way, the same way that you look at American claims? And when you put money in for the Americans who deserve compensation, when that money runs out and you still have claims, the U.S. Congress puts more money in. But that isn't the case in the Marshall Islands to the extent that's needed.